To save America as was founded. A patriotic mood began while rewatching Whitney Houston's spectacular performance of our national anthem at Super Bowl 25 in 1991. Whitney's rendition was re-released as a single after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, and she donated all proceeds to charity. Serendipitous. These remarkable quotes about America appeared on my radar. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Abraham Lincoln, one who I'm not a particular fan of. But Lincoln, he said those words right there in his Gettysburg Address, that America was founded upon the principle that all men are created equal. And yet leftist schools have taught our children that for decades that America was founded by evil white guys with no desire for equality. Oh yeah, it took a while to reach our goal of equality for all Americans. Up to 800,000 died in the so-called Civil War to free the slaves, and years of civil rights battles paved the way to elect our first black president. But we got there. Oh, we got there. George Washington once said that the thing that sets the American Christian apart from all other people in the world is that he will die on his feet before he'll live on his knees. Well, I pray the Christians will stop kneeling to wicked cultural demands and begin standing up again for godly principles. Far too many youths are Marxist zealot domestic terrorists because we've allowed leftist schools to poison their minds about their God, their family, and their country. And outrageously across America, youths are scolding and lecturing and punishing their parents for being Christians, patriotic Americans, and gun owners. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once stated, "I have a dream that one day on the Red Hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood." And my God, people, we've seen that happen so many times. And yet today, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, various other anti-Christian and anti-American hate groups do not want brotherhood as desired by Dr. King and so many others. They want to punish white America. They demand that whites physically kneel to blacks and beg forgiveness for their sin of being born white. And the people in these groups are wicked and must not be tolerated. At the top of your lungs, scream the word no to them. For blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. America, you see, is a Christian nation, brilliantly and divinely founded upon biblical principles. And stating this truth enrages BLM and Antifa, causing them to vomit green slime and their heads to spin around backwards. Evil is repulsed by good. Alexis de Tocqueville once said, America is great because America is good. And yet in these final months leading up to the November election, the Democrat Communist Party will launch every wicked scheme in their depraved playbook to attack the American people, to stop them from re-electing Donald J. Trump. We have so much work to do. This is all hands on deck. The election is our last stand to save our founding fathers' divinely inspired vision of America. Talk to your neighbors, your family, your friends, encouraging them to vote for Trump. Let them know what is at a strike. There's 42 crazy, disastrous things that Biden will implement if elected. Our author says, I've awakened at 2 a.m. in the morning and turned on my television to encounter lie-filled stories trashing Trump. The hits on Trump just keep on coming. This is what we're up against, people. Now, most of you know I'm not a great fan of Trump, but I'm a great enemy of Biden and all that he stands for. Now, that's my comment. But our author continued, a large percentage of the country gets their news from mainstream fake news media. Consequently, they are clueless regarding many important issues. For example, our author says, my sister is one such low-info Christian voter. I recruited her awesome alto voice to sing in the choir at the recording session of my Trump Train 2020 song, he said. The choir was mostly white. All Trump supporters. But she noticed that they were good, friendly, everyday people, not the rabid racists portrayed by the media. And her eyes popped out of her head in disbelief when I told her San Francisco gives tourist maps to avoid the piles of human feces on the streets left by vagrants. She had no idea that Trump was responsible for black unemployment being its lowest in U.S. history. And we flew many of our singers from the East Coast to California to perform in the Trump Train 2020 song music video. And upon landing in California, my sister was stunned to see the all-gender restrooms with signs welcoming transgenders at the airport, which opened the door for our author to educate her about the extreme LGBTQ agenda that Biden and the Democrats want to implement across the country. He says, my buddy Robert Kirk brilliantly exposed the wacko California LGBTQ mandates in his award-winning comedy short film entitled Nightmare in Paradise. He said, well, I suspect my sister will vote for Trump because in the Trump Train 2020 music video, she's the beautiful black woman singing the solo line, Don't You Feel the Engines Roar. Please spread the Trump Train 2020 music video and wide to counter Neil Young's song that we gotta vote him out. Our author concludes by saying, I'm the eldest of four boys and one girl. My sister was dad's princess. He purchased her first car, a brand new Fiat. Made me work to purchase my first used car. The good news is Fiats were lemons. Just kidding. Seriously, folks, we must do everything in our power to re-elect our remarkable president. Because this election is our last stand to save America as founded. America is counting on you. Now, there are some statements made in that which I've just shared with you that I will have some disagreement on, as I suspect many of you will. But the reason I shared this particular column with you, because it's the last column you will ever read by this writer. I awoke Sunday morning and When I say I woke, I'm talking 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. And for whatever reason, I started going through Facebook, and I saw something that attracted my eye that didn't seem right. And I said, no, this has got to be one of these jokester hoaxes that gets posted on Facebook on a continual basis. But I found out that what I read was true. My comment left was RIP, brother. I'll be along soon enough. Sundown approaches. A black man. A brilliant writer. An anti-Democrat in so many ways. Because he saw what was reality. And what I read at those early hours of the morning shocked me. It was posted on Facebook by the author's wife, Mary. She said, with my sad, heavy, and deeply broken heart, Jesus suddenly came and reclaimed our Lloyd Marcus, the unhyphenated American. Loved by many up all over the world with his warm smile, his optimism, his hearty exuberance, his wise written words and columns and songs and videos and art and books. Lloyd Marcus is deeply missed. His family and dear friends are stunned at the sheer quickness and absoluteness of God's hand as he was plucked from us to be with his beloved Lord and Savior in heaven above. And Mary says, as I continue my life without his all-encompassing human love of me, his adoring and steadfast wife, I thank you for all your loving compassion. And patriots, I want you to know that he loved each and every one of you. Reading and responding to your letters of encouragement and questions and well wishes, he loved you all and spoke of and wrote about many of you. I and he have always thanked you for your gifts through the years and helping him spread the truth. Thanking you in advance for your heart-filled giving, I leave you with Lloyd's words. Lloyd Marcus says, I'm not African-American. I'm Lloyd Marcus, American. God instructed Pharaoh, let my people go. God instructs us, let my people know. Spread the truth. I had this published within minutes on Federal Observer, Sunday morning, July 25th. And maybe that's Saturday morning. I've lost track. What is today? Tuesday, the 28th? 27, 26, 25. I guess it was Saturday morning I had this posted. Lloyd Marcus just passed of a heart attack in his sleep. A man who has done more than his job to reach people and make a difference in the way they think and love and respond and converse with one another. But something struck me with all of this. The man of color, not of his choosing, a black man. Days before he passed, a small business owner up in Milwaukee who would stand out in front of his store in a probably somewhat of a ghetto neighborhood, based upon the photographs I've seen. Kind of a long, scruffy beard, but a devout supporter of everything against the BLM and Antifa and the socialistic, communistic bent of the Democratic Party. And because he was of a supporter of Trump and spoke of it openly, he was murdered. There are people who will call me racist. I make some probably racist-sounding comments upon occasion. But if I do, it's toward an individual, not an entire race of people. Black, white, yellow, red. If you're wrong, you're wrong, and I'll call you out on it. But these people, Lloyd Marcus, and the gentleman who was the business owner, and other blacks who were exceedingly supportive of pro-American views. Black Lives Matter doesn't seem to care about them one damn bit. What's wrong with this country? Good evening. Welcome to The Edge. I'm your host, Jeffrey Bennett, for the hour, and this will be somewhat of a mixed topic this evening. I'm going to miss Lloyd Marcus. His final column, which he had no idea, should be well read, well considered. Yes, it's very much pro-Trump. But what are the options we have any longer? I did post later, and by the way, from the best of my knowledge, and I'm not patting myself on the back, I don't care. I just happened to be the right person at the right time and did all I could to spread this news. Others over the course of the day, J.R. Dunn over at the American Thinker, also published a piece entitled "The Unhyphenated America is Gone." The link is embedded in our piece, and you'll kind of find it interesting to follow through and read what JR has to say. Yeah, I'm going to badly miss this man. That was not the end of my sorrow for the weekend, but I'll not spend a lot of time discussing it. In early July, a woman who I have followed my entire life, which is interesting, she was born many years before I, early July turned 104 years of age. Most people in her obituaries discussed her from the standpoint of the last surviving star of Gone with the Wind. Well, for starters, I never really cared for that movie. First time I saw it, in a theater, was in the 1960s. I had a marvelous girlfriend, Sally Oswald. I was a freshman. She was a sophomore. And she and her girlfriend, Patty, were absolute fond lovers of the film Gone with the Wind. And I finally saw it. And I'm a movie freak. I've been a movie freak my whole life. But as I stated in my publication, this had been a sad weekend for me. And now Olivia de Havilland, 19 years of age, I guess 18 when she made her first film with Warner Brothers, which also starred Mickey Rooney, believe it or not, Midsummer Night's Dream. But she'd done a Hollywood Bowl production of it. And then came Captain Blood. 19 years of age in 1935. Adventures of Robin Hood in 38. Gone with the Wind in 39. A good number of other films. She did 9 films with Errol Flynn. An amazing, amazing combination of people together. Well, I posted quite a piece about Libby. She'll be sadly missed. What an amazing, amazing woman. By the way, I learned something interesting about the feud that she, her ongoing feud with her sister, also a noted film actress. Who was it? What was her name? Joan Fontaine? I can't remember. I never liked her sister anyway. Always played a bitch in the movies. I found out the beginning of their lifelong feud when Libby was 9 years old, made some comment to her sister about her looks. Yeah, it was Joan Fontaine. And she looked at her sister and made some comment about, "I'm sorry you're so ugly, but I will pass my beauty on to you." How absolutely superb. I love it. Unreal. Well, let's get down to some other stuff here. I made no bones about it. In some respects, throughout my last 25 years on the air, I did a lot of work with Gun Owners of America for a number of years. Was their kind of a public relations guy for the development of the expansion of their appearance at gun shows. And to the point that we did a show in Oklahoma, and Bo Greitz was there. Bo was a personal boyhood friend of the guy who was putting this program on. And Gun Owners of America was invited to be the primary focus for membership, for being pro-gun, etc. And we had one, two, three, we had four places throughout the show, the front door, the back door, and two different booths set up inside for signing up new members. And I had expanded the way Gun Owners of America did membership, not just individuals. We did family, we did lifetime, some stuff like that. How much of that's still with them, I don't know. The daughter of the executive director of GOA, Larry Pratt, was like Congressman Ron Paul's number one insider. The only problem with it is whatever she could do with Ron Paul every day, she'd go have breakfast with Daddy every morning. So Daddy always had kind of a little bit of an up on what was going on with Paul's office. But Paul was a massive supporter of the work that GOA did. And GOA supported Paul. Well, you know, that just goes to show you. You rub my back, I'll rub yours, et cetera, et cetera. The interesting thing about that particular gun show is the NRA was told you were not welcome to be at this show. Yeah. Somebody had the guts to tell NRA to take a flying you-know-what. Well, I've had some problems with Paul over the years. More so back in the day when he was a congressman and we discussed doing some interviews and stuff like that. And I think he was just being kind to talk with me. But apparently the time that I was on in the evening just did not coordinate with whatever the heck he was doing. And he just wound up never showing up. However, as the years have gone by, I've had a massive amount of respect for his writings and his words because he's no longer in a position to make a difference in pro and con within Congress. Look, you don't spend 30 years in politics without selling out somewhere, okay? It's that simple. One of his latest columns, he talks about something that I've been discussing more and more. This new scheme for economic tyranny and poverty. Remember, we're hearing all these rumors about the massive coin shortage in this country. If that is fact is true, I am convinced that every bank in this country has been told to take a certain percentage of their coinage and turn it over to a local operation, and I think the coins are being melted down. Paul begins by saying, if some Congress members get their way, the Federal Reserve may soon be able to track many of your purchases in real time and share that information with government agencies. This is just one of the problems with the proposed digital dollar or Fed coin. Let's be honest and let's call it what it is, people. Cashless society. And you've heard me discuss this in very no-nonsense terms. This is the goal. They've had us on debit cards for so many years, it's sickening. I can't tell you the money I've put on debit cards this week. I don't have to write a check. I don't have to go to the bank and get cash out. Just whoop out that little piece of plastic and stick it in the machine, baby. Well, the bank knows right away where I'm spending money. In fact, the bank knows so fast where I'm spending money, they could send the police down to pick my ass up if they wanted to. So this new thing that they're talking about in Congress called Fedcoin. Now, it was initially included in the first coronavirus spending bill, you know. Well, a proposal was dropped on the final version of the bill, but there's still interest in Fedcoin on Capitol Hill. Some progressives, polite word for Democrats, or better known as socialists, have embraced Fedcoin as a way to provide Americans with a universal basic income. Basic income? Well, does that mean for the rest of our lives they're going to keep sending us $1,200 a month apiece? Ooh. Well, both the Senate Banking Committee, the House Financial Services Committee held hearings on Fedcoin in June. That's the first step toward making Fedcoin reality. Now, it won't be an actual coin. It's going to be a special account created and maintained for each American by the Federal Reserve. And each month, Fed employees could tap a few keys on a computer and bingo, You could have some dollars added to your Federal Reserve account. Oh, my friends, that's the 21st century equivalent of throwing money from helicopters. I mean, Fedcoin can affect private cryptocurrencies. And also, it would limit the ability of private citizens to protect themselves from the Federal Reserve caused decline in the dollar's value. Oh, and I've had a good number of clients this week that have finally said, enough is enough. We see the light. We want gold and silver. That's getting away from our topic right now, sort of. Fedcoin would not magically increase the number of available goods and services, but what it would do is drive up prices. And the damage this will do to middle and lower income Americans will dwarf any benefit they receive from their monthly gift from the Fed. Oh, socialism at its best. I love it. Not. The rise in prices could lead Congress to regularly increase Fed coin payments to Americans. And those increases would cause prices to keep rising even more until we face hyperinflation and a dollar crisis. Of course, we're already on the path to an economic crisis thanks to the Fed. The Fed coin would just hasten and worsen that crisis. Oh, it poses a great threat to your privacy. The Federal Reserve could know when Fed coin is used, who's using it, what they're using it for. Back to the prophylactic comment again, right? This information could be shared with government agencies like the FBI or even the IRS. And the government could use the ability to know how Americans are spending Fed coin to limit our ability to purchase goods and services, disfavored by the politicians and bureaucrats. Anyone who doubts this should recall the Obama administration's Operation Choke Point, which involved financial regulators alerting banks that dealing with certain businesses like gun stores would put the banks at a reputational risk and could subject them to greater regulation. So it's so hard to believe that the ability to track purchases would be used in the future to discourage individuals from buying guns or fatty foods or tobacco or from being customers of corporations whose CEOs are not considered woke by the thought police. Fedcoin could also be used to encourage individuals to patronize green businesses, thus fulfilling Fed Chair Jerome Powell's goal of involving the Fed in the fight against climate change. And finally, Fedcoin could threaten private cryptocurrencies, increase inflation, give government new powers over financial transactions. Oh, and Fedcoin will also speed up destruction of the fiat money system. So whatever gain Fedcoin may bring to the average American will come at a terrible cost to liberty and prosperity. At which time that Lloyd Marcus will be turning over in his grave. Think about it. I'll be turning over in my grave and I'm not even there yet. But believe me, there's days that I made a decision quite some time ago that when he's ready, then fine. Let's get it on. I'll cross the river at sunset. Doesn't bother me. I'm ready. I'm tired of what I see, people. Tired. And I don't know how much I can do. One man. But if I can reach one of you tonight, or two of you, or 10 of you, or 100 of you, or whatever, and tomorrow you go out and duplicate the same thing, that's how we're going to make a damn difference. But not if we're not willing to do something. I'm so tired of this. When is somebody going to do something? Oh, please, don't even play that game with me. It's saddening. Very, very saddening. We're going to go to a break in just a moment. And when we come back, we're going to move in a different direction, or a continued direction, as it were. Stay with us. A dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Oh, welcome back, my friends. Second half. By the way, my apologies for last night. I had a grueling Sunday, and I was up Monday, actually almost through the night. And at about 1:30 yesterday afternoon, I knew I had to lay down or I'd never make the show. Set the alarm to get up, never heard the alarm, never heard the phone. Not only was the network trying to reach me, I had other people trying to reach me. I never heard a thing. My volume was turned up on the phone. So that's why I was not here yesterday. And much of what we're discussing on the program today was meant to be yesterday's show, but I've tightened some things and moved it around. A couple of quick updates on websites over at metropolis.cafe. A couple of very interesting pieces. One that I came across yesterday called Homeschooling for Beginners. And the time has come for you. It is superb. It's an easy to understand program. I urge you to open this video directly on YouTube. Study all of the comments and tremendous support toward this much needed program for our children, for your children. Your grandchildren. I'm telling you, it is the most positive thing that could come out of this COVID crap. Is people waking up to realize that in some city last week, I can't remember how many, maybe it was the week before, some 20-odd protesters were arrested and hauled in, and they were booked, and their photos were taken. And out of those 23 or 24 people arrested, 16 of them were school teachers, public school teachers. This is what you want teaching your kids? No. You need to go look at this, and it is really quite profound to watch. It's kind of a fun thing to watch. It gives you a really good way to look at the option. The second piece is something I posted both on Federal Observer and at Metropolis, entitled "Welcome to Today's Science Class." It was an amazing video of a science teacher doing YouTube, talking about the needs to wear the face masks. He said everything that the media and the government wants to be said, but he kept holding up handwritten signs that countered every word that came out of his mouth. I can't remember how long the thing was, 10, 12 minutes. There were temperature gauges involved. There were a number of things that prove that this whole mask thing is crap. And so I've gone back to both Federal Observer and Metropolis today, and I've left statements. And I have this twisted sense of humor, as many of you know. I left one today, it's over at Metropolis. Says, "Ooh, look, boys and girls. Apparently, YouTube did not approve of this lesson for today. What do you think that they've done with the teacher?" I can just see Eddie Murphy as Mr. Robinson doing that routine, right? Yeah, that's the way I saw it. Over at Dr. Kelly's Victory Over Cancer, a new video that I suspect will disappear quickly. Go watch it tonight. It's called "The Scam: Taking Your Temperature by Laser Gun." You've got to see this. I believe that this thing is going to disappear very quickly. Another very interesting piece entitled "Throw It in the Trash." Oh, we did the science piece over at Dr. Kelly, not Federal Observer. Now, this isn't a surprise. It's been removed. Yeah, sickening. Good stuff over there. Dietary conversations. A lot of new stuff. Brand new book getting ready to come out. We'll be talking about soon. I don't sell it, but I support what this doctor has to say. A very well-learned doctor. So we'll get to that. And then quickly, over at Federal Observer, I can't, I'm not going to say this on the air, but our top post at Federal Observer right now is entitled, "Well, Did They?" And a brief piece written by Neil Ross. Neil does not write brief pieces. By the way, you do want to stick around for the closing piece of music tonight. It's got a very, very profound commentary. And we do have a video at federalobserver.com entitled, "I'm Joe Biden and I approve this message." Well, I'm not Joe Biden and I don't approve of the message, but you've got to see it. I promise you, you will get a laugh. All right, let's see what else is going on. What did the metals do today? I don't really care. I will tell you this much. Today is Tuesday. Yesterday morning, gold broke an all-time record high. Gold's all-time high up to that point was something like $1,619 or somewhere in that area. It went up well into the 1950s, maybe even 1960s at one point. It currently is sitting at $1,951 an ounce. And I'm going to tell you something. One of the reasons I was so beat yesterday, I spent most of yesterday on the phone with clients. People, questions, new clients, existing clients, people wanting to add, going back and forth, where can we make the best buy? I had people ordering 50 one-ounce silver pieces, had people ordering boxes of 500, people ordering 100 coins, you know, whatever the case may have, whatever their financial situation fit. And I have a gentleman we've talked to a couple of times, and I just couldn't quite read the man. But when he talked the other day, he began to open up to me. Look, he first talked about buying a little bit of silver, and I don't know what a little bit is. You know, we finally got to that. But, and he talked about quite a fair amount of cash he's got sitting in one of his accounts at Edward D. Jones. He's got money in the bank. He's got this, that, and the other thing. And as we kind of left it, we left it, okay, I'm going to take a look at some of the options we've got available in both some gold, some silver. I'll get back with you. I never could touch bases. I left messages, didn't get a call back. I just figured, okay, this is a waste of my time. I'm not going to hear from him. He did call this morning. And then I heard this exquisite voice in the background, and he introduced me to his wife, and we were on the phone for a considerable period of time. My intent was to still offer them pretty much the same stuff, options, because I didn't know how much they wanted to invest. And we went through a lot of discussions about the pros and the cons, gold versus silver, how much, why, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not a big lover of 1 ounce gold pieces. I don't own any. I own fractional size gold pieces. And so we began to take a look, and I said, all right, let me do some things and I'll give you a call back. I had to make one call about some silver. I locked it in at an amazingly good price. They picked up a box of silver. They paid whatever it was. They saved a considerable amount of money by getting the box. I comped prices with some of the other companies that were selling it that are telling people 2 and 3 weeks. Our product arrives this coming Monday or Tuesday. We'll begin to ship out. And then I had the ability to pick up some gold pieces from a client. And he was still a go for it. I gave him a price that was better than what I was able to do for him last month, not just because spot was moved up. I was in a better position to actually pay him more money. And yet I turned around and offered these same 20 1/2 ounce gold pieces to these potential clients. And I still saved them about almost $50 a coin over what they would have paid if they'd have gone to some of these other companies out there. And they took both the silver and the gold package, and funding will be in tomorrow, and we're going to get shipping going right away. The gold will be here in a few days. So, you know, everybody made out. These clients saved money. My other client made money, and we're all in good shape. One of the questions asked is, Bennett, you know, you've been with RBN on and off for many years. You used to come on every Tuesday. You'd have a hot special for us. Yeah, well, you know, I don't offer Bob Chapman newsletters anymore. Okay, that's number one. Number two, there's so much going on in this marketplace right now. There's such a wide range of some things that are available. Yesterday, I was able to put a trade together with a client for either Swiss 20 francs or the 20 franc angel pieces, and we got the Swiss pieces because they're in better condition. They're much shiny. They really are a brilliant uncirculated piece. And so I do have access to some of those. Sometimes that's the problem. Right now, everything is a sometimes. My suppliers will be closed in another 15 minutes. I could sit there and make an offer to you about, you know, British Sovereigns or American Eagles or Maple Leafs or Krugerrands and gold or silver or whatever. But because I can't lock anything in until tomorrow morning when the markets are open. I mean, I've got one supplier I can reach at midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning, my time, because it's their Zurich office. Most of the time, that fares well. Now, let me share this with you. But that these are amongst the reasons I don't very often come on and offer a specific, here's a hot deal, take advantage of it. Everything I do is custom for your needs. Yes, buy gold, buy silver. Not because I expect you're going to make a lot of money with it, but because you're going to keep up with the falling dollar as far as what that gold or silver were purchased for you. I can't promise you're going to stick in $10,000 or $1,000 and make a killing. As a rule, it don't happen overnight. But I will tell you that timing can be everything. 1 month ago, the very beginning of this month, I had a client that's acquired some things from me on and off over the years, and he did a very large IRA. Now, I will tell you that IRA had a starting value. He started by buying $137,000 worth of silver. This is less than a month ago. Yesterday's value was $178,000. That's a $40,000 gain in 4 weeks. I mean, you know, I mean, if he's sold out, the government's going to hammer him with the tax thing. There's been some questions about the delivery. I got a hold of the shipper. It's been shipped. It was delivered. It was signed for on the 14th, but somehow it's not physically showed up in his account yet. So I'm going to call the depository tomorrow and say, what the hell are you people doing? I mean, you know, you got, I don't remember how many ounces you've got. I think 16 boxes or something like that of the 500 coins each. That's a lot. Do they open them up and count them all? Or do they weigh them and they know the weights on the money? I don't know how they do it. But I got to verify. So, you know, that will happen tomorrow. These are some of the reasons for all of this stuff, people. Can't just be there. I don't care what spot gold is. I don't care what spot silver is, and neither should you. On a day-to-day basis, there's not a darn thing you can do about it. I talked to another client this morning that done some silver a week or so back, and he figures that based upon what he bought it for at that time, he's just about even. And you know, obviously, I make a little bit of shekels off of it, and et cetera, et cetera. It's very frustrating what we're going through. There's still an awful lot of people that have got massive catalogs online with gold and silver, and over two-thirds of it's not even available. It's like, well, let us know if you're interested, and we'll send you an email when we get the stuff. I just choose not to do that. Okay, it's time-consuming to do it, Do you understand that? It's time-consuming. I'm one man, chief, cook, bottle washer, the broker, the packer in some cases, when it's necessary. And I want people to save money. I'm not going to bring somebody in here and hire them to start being the number two behind me because I got to train them. And if I ever did decide to hire somebody as a secondary broker in here, the last thing that I would want is somebody that came from the cheese company or the muffler company or any other such company. Because they've all been trained to be liars and thieves, and they don't know it. They think they're being taught the truth. Truth is, they'll hammer you six ways to Sunday and get all your money from you. Oh, Martha, I wouldn't do that. I'd take such good care of you. I'm so honest. Jesus guides me to take good care of your money. Believe me, I've heard that kind of nonsense out of some of these people. It's insane. Absolutely insane. I'm not crapping on Jesus here. I'm crapping on the people that use his name to line their pockets. Hallelujah. God, help us all. It's a nightmare. There's a piece that was published recently that we're not going to have time to get into. I'm almost falling asleep sitting here. This happens to me some nights with a program. I can finish the program within 15 minutes. I'm passed out. Drained. Other things that are going to be coming up this week. My intent tomorrow is to spend an hour to help with you right here on the edge. Let me share this with you. It was not my intent, but maybe we've got enough time to do it. Maybe not. Maybe we'll get enough to be able to make it understandable. And, you know, we don't need to do that entire piece of closing music. I've got a very special piece of closing music for you all tonight. And it's the kind of stuff I'll post on Facebook that just draws massive rave reviews. Message songs, sometimes enjoyable songs. I've often said to you that basketball died for me with the retirement of Bob Cousy. Wilt the Stilt, people of that caliber. Baseball, never been a huge fan of it. Well, there was a time. But baseball died for me when the Braves moved to Atlanta from Milwaukee. Football died for me with the death of Vince Lombardi, who once said, "The only place success comes before work is in the dictionary." What a contrast, my friends, when you consider leadership against the rabble-rousers in urban America today. Americans should be concerned that a growing number of young adults have no understanding of the concept of authentic leadership. As Lombardi said, the only place success comes before work is in the dictionary. Too many young people are products of public school indoctrination. They don't get it. They never will. The protests across this nation have left major cities in abject ruin, led by young activists with escalating demands that begin as a cry that Black Lives Matter, and yet it moved to calls for law enforcement to be defunded by local governments. And then the demands escalated to abolish prisons as rioters created zones of occupation complete with filth, trash, and violence that are destroying businesses. Marxist Democrats in helmets with guns, frozen water bottles, bricks, M80 explosions, and rocks have set fire to federal and private property. And I've now even seen images of some of these thugs in the street with lasers aimed at the police and the fire trying to blind them. And they've hit some that are, their sight's never going to be right again. Now, if you contrast this undisciplined, unbridled anger from people at Senator Tom Cotton, his accurately dubbed emotionally incontinent woke children, with the traits of leadership employed by so many who have accomplished feats of notoriety and heroism and personal and business success. In 2019, it was estimated that 1,000 books were published every day, excluding self-publishing, and the top sellers annually involved the topic of leadership. And among the books Inc.com listed as the 10 books that will change your life on one long weekend were 8 books that focused on being successful through work. Made in America by Sam Walton. Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. Act Like a Success, Think Like a Success by Steve Harvey, which tells of the challenges to achieve his dreams through perseverance, hard work, and the discipline of gratitude. By the way, Steve Harvey is a man of color, isn't he? Some of the lists on success and leadership include one on Warren Buffett and tap dancing, called Tap Dancing to Work. More about how Buffett lives modestly. Buffett says we should learn from many of the successes by these authors. Are we seeing our young adults displaying humility, respect, excellence in mind, body, or spirit? Are the students today taught to value the discipline of gratitude and living within their means? Is the virtue of integrity valued, and are successful individuals honored for achievement? Is envy rejected? Now, those questions are shamefully rhetorical, my friends. The largest group of those in today's protest movement are under 35. Envy is the currency of the Marxist Democrats' economy, with entitlement as the mindset instead of perseverance. Personal responsibility is never tethered to the rights of being demanded by these adolescents. No. What are the keys of leadership? Self-management, strategic action, effective communication, personal accountability, and responsibility. Setting your goals with persistence to achieve them, setting a vision for one's future. None of these things will ever be understood by these kids. Ever. It's done. It's over. It's sad. And as I stated at the opening of this program tonight, and this will be our title, The Last Stand to Save America. God bless you, Lloyd Marcus. So many others that have given up for all that we're having to deal with. I don't know how it's going to come out, but it may be the last stand. I thank you for being with me tonight. Lord willing, I'll be back with you tomorrow night. But if I'm not, it's either because I fell asleep or I crossed over the river. That day's coming, my friends. That day's coming. Take care of yourself. Brother Beebe is going to take us out tonight. Well worth the listen. God bless you. See you tomorrow.
Sometimes I wonder just what am I fighting for? I win some battles, but I always lose the war. I keep right on stumbling, and there's no man's land out here. But I know, yes, I know, there must be a better world somewhere. Flying high, some joker clips my wings just because he gets a kick out of doing those kind of things. I keep on falling in space or just hanging in midair. But I know, oh, yes, I know, there's just gotta be a better world somewhere. Every woman I want only wants herself. Everybody I love seems to love somebody else. And every woman got a license to break my heart. And every love affair is over, over before it gets a chance to start. Maybe in the hereafter, instead of tears, I'll learn all about laughter. But meanwhile, I'm stuck out here. It just ain't fair, but I know. I said I know. Oh, yes, I know. Must be a better world somewhere. Oh, oh. You know, it's just gotta be a better world somewhere.
Extend your life.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized, and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.